And the recording has been restarted at 10:23. Mr. Greer, are you here? Mr. Greer, if you're here, you're muted. I believe he's probably not.
Yeah.
Mr. Harris, should we or do we need to take a roll call at this time or wait for Mr. Greer? And the recording has been restarted at 10:23. Mr. Greer, are you here? Mr. Greer, if you're here, you're muted. I believe he's probably not.
Yeah.
Mr. Harris, should we or do we need to take a roll call at this time or wait for Mr. Greer to come back?
I think we can continue on.
Thank you.
Thank you, Janine.
Okay, we are at our last initial review, 9D, case 2347, Jane Bourne, PT. And Ms. Bourne, I see you on, so thanks for being here. Ms. Richardson, do you want to give us a summary of the case, please?
Yes, she is represented by Ms. Stark, and I believe that
I see her too.
Okay. Good morning.
Hi, Ms. Stark. Sorry about that.
That's okay. No worries.
Good morning. Case 2347 is related to Ms. Bourne being arrested for DUI on or about November 5th, 2021 in Sequim, Washington. I'm not sure how you say that, actually. Is it Sequim or Sequim?
Sequim.
Sequim, Washington. At the time of her arrest, her breathalyzer results were .202. She was immediately arraigned and charged on 11-6-21 and issued court order requirements. She did not report her arrest or charges within the 10-day regulatory requirement, but she did report the charges at the time of her 2022-2024 renewal. She was contacted and subsequently provided a written statement and supporting documents, which you had attached for your review. She appears to have completed all court-ordered requirements, and her probation will end November 23rd of this year, and she states that she's committed to continue her self-improvement. She last practiced in Arizona in 2015, and does not plan to return to Arizona in the near future. And that both she and Ms. Stark have received a copy of the investigative report. This case is for your review.
Thanks, Mindy. Ms. Stark or Ms. Form, would you like to make an opening statement?
Yes, I'll make a brief statement, Dr. King, and then I'll turn it over to the board members for any questions they have for Ms. Bourne at that time. Good morning, Dr. King, members of the board. As an initial matter, Ms. Bourne acknowledges and accepts responsibility for the fact that she failed to report her DUI charge within 10 working days as required by our statute. As we indicated in our written response, she has no explanation except that she was unaware of Arizona's reporting requirements, which is not an excuse because she knows she should have known this rule even if she hasn't practiced in Arizona since 2015. With regard to the incident itself, the DUI charge, which was ultimately pled down to reckless driving, Ms. Bourne knows that she used incredibly poor judgment that evening. In fact, this event served as a wake-up call for her, and she's recently celebrated 2 years of sobriety. As part of her court-ordered probation, she was required to complete an outpatient counseling program, which included regular drug and alcohol testing, as well as attendance at 12-step meetings. She completed her counseling program, but still regularly attends meetings and remains involved in the recovery community. She is currently compliant with the terms of her probation, and as Mr. Richardson said, it is scheduled to be terminated at the end of November of this year. Again, Ms. Bourne knows that she used extremely poor judgment in driving that night in August of 2021, but she has done significant work over the past 2 years to ensure this never happens again. Again, she doesn't practice here in Arizona. She does not plan to return to Arizona. So we would ask the board to consider resolving the matter by issuing an advisory letter for the failure to report the charge within 10 working days. And again, we are available for questions the board members may have at this time. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Bourne, do you have anything to add? Would you like to make a statement?
Just that I'm happy to answer any questions.
Great, thank you. All right, board members, do you have any questions for Ms. Bourne?
I guess
Ms. Bourne, you've said that you're not planning on practicing here in Arizona. Are you planning on maintaining your license here in Arizona?
Actually, I do not plan to renew.
So if I could further that question. So, Ms. Bourne, right now you are licensed in Arizona. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Can I ask why you renewed your license in Arizona if you didn't have any plans to practice here?
My husband and I had moved to Sequim to take care of my in-laws. We had done a lot of traveling therapy before that, and not knowing how long we'd be here, we thought we would get back to the traveling therapy. Mm-hmm. As it turns out, it appears it's going to be a kind of a long-term stay here in Washington, so I am planning to go ahead and give it up.
Okay. And I remember the initial, the preliminary review of this case, and I think we moved it, if I remember correctly, to open a complaint based on the blood alcohol level. So you've done all your courses and things. Have you had an assessment of, as far as like from like an addictionologist or anyone that might be concerned about your ability to practice and potential substance use?
Besides my initial counseling, that was 6 months long, and I mean, I haven't had any professional counseling since then, but I have been regularly going to the AA meetings. I have a sponsor. I go 2 to 3 days a week to AA. So, okay. And I keep in touch with my boss as well. So.
Yeah. Okay. How has your life changed since then? Since this?
Even my boss says I'm happier. You know, if I can just say real quick, AA is amazing. It teaches life skills. It is spiritual. It opens up a fellowship that I hadn't had before. And I am committed to being true to myself.
Right. And are you practicing right now in Washington?
I am.
Okay. In home health, outpatient, what setting are you in?
I am PRN in acute hospital.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. I don't have any other questions.
Mm-hmm.
Does anyone have any other questions for Ms. Bourne? Tiffany, Karen, Mr. Barton?
Nothing for me.
Okay. Do you have a final statement or anything that you want to add before we go into deliberations, Ms. Stark or Ms. Bourne?
Nothing further. Thank you, Dr. King.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Board members, what are your thoughts?
This is Mr. Barton. My inclination is to provide an advisory letter on this case. I think that's probably, you know, I mean, especially if she's not planning on renewing or practicing in Arizona, I'm not overly concerned. And frankly, even if I was, I think that what we heard suggests a lot of action in the right direction. So that would be my motion, is that we dismiss with an advisory letter.
I second that and agree with your thoughts on why.
Yeah, yep. I'm in agreement as well.
Right. Yeah. No, I'm in support of that. So Ms. Trippias, we have a motion and a second. Do you want to call the vote, please?
It's been moved and seconded to issue an advisory letter regarding her duty Ms. Bourne regarding her duty to report in accordance with ARS 32-3208. Dr. King?
Yes.
Dr. Bustillo?
Yes.
Mr. Leone?
Yes.
Mr. Barton?
Yes.
That motion passes.
Great. All right, Ms. Bourne, thank you. Thanks for being here. Ms. Stark, thanks for representing.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank
Have
you.
A good day.
Mm-hmm. Have a good day.
All right, board, we now are then down to item 9H, a preliminary review of SW. Is SW on the call, please?
Yeah, can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Okay, good morning, everyone. I am here.
Good morning. All right, so what we will do, Ms. SW, is we will have Mindy give us a summary, and we will then have an opportunity to ask your questions. You'll be able to address us. Is that okay with you?
Yeah, that's okay with me.
Before we start, I want to take a pause. Judy, could we take a roll? Mr. Greer has rejoined the meeting.
Yes, we can do that. Mm-hmm. It is 10:33 and Mr. Greer has rejoined the meeting. Dr. King?
Present.
Dr. Bastillo?
Here.
Mr. Leone?
Here.
Mr. Greer?
Here.
Mr. Barton?
Here.
Thank you.
And Judy, we're on 9H?
Correct.
Yes.
H.
The summary will be provided by Judy.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. Okay, so SW, we're going to go ahead and proceed then. So Judy will give us a summary, and then we'll move forward. So Judy, please.
Yes. So prior to SW's application for licensure through universal recognition, she was practicing in Arizona under a PT compact privilege. The PT Compact Commission issues privileges to practice in a compact state by virtue of a home state license in another compact state. SW's compact privilege was originally purchased on April 19th, 2022, based on her home state license of Iowa, from Iowa. On May 10th, 2023, SW came to the attention of the board because she renewed her Arizona PT compact privilege on May 8th of that same year without the required jurisprudence exam. SW was informed of the omission and provided a 30-day grace period ending on June 10th, in which to complete the exam. On May 25th, SW was contacted by phone as a courtesy to further discuss her completion of the jurisprudence exam, at which time SW indicated she planned to apply for Arizona licensure. As she was still working in Arizona under her renewed PT compact privilege, she was informed that the jurisprudence requirement for her compact privilege remained, since she anticipated continuing to work in Arizona while her application was processed. Through SW's application submission by Universal Recognition, it was discovered that she had an Arizona's driver's license that was issued on March 17, 2023. A driver's license is the primary confirmation of home state residence, and the PT Compact Commission rules require that the commission be notified within 30 business days after a change of name and or home state address. The PT Compact Commission also specifies on their website that a compact privilege may not be used to practice in the home state. A regular license issued by that state's regulatory entity is required to practice in the home state. After obtaining an Arizona driver's license, SW failed to notify the PT Compact Commission of her change of home state address within the required 30 business days, which would have terminated her Arizona compact privilege on or before April 28, 2023. Instead, SW renewed her Arizona compact privilege on May 8th of 23 and continued to work in Arizona on that compact privilege after establishing Arizona residence on March 17th. SW notified the PT Compact Commission of her change in home state on June 9th of 2023, which terminated her compact privilege on that same date. SW's license application by Universal Recognition was approved on August 1st. It was processed after and independently from her Arizona compact privilege termination. SW practiced in Arizona on a compact privilege after April 28, 2023 in violation of the PT compact rules requiring that the compact be notified of a change in home state. Then SW continued to practice in Arizona via a compact privilege by falsifying her driver's license data on the privilege purchase form. SW knew or should have known that using her previous Iowa driver's license to obtain an Arizona compact privilege after obtaining an Arizona driver's license was in violation of the PT compact rules. This matter is presented for board review and to determine whether a complaint should be opened.
SW, would you like to make give us a brief summary of your?
Yeah, I would like to. This was a complete oversight on my part. All of my stuff was in Iowa until August 4th or 5th is when we actually moved here. So this was all just me failing to read the fine print of the compact license. In changing my driver's license, the only reason I changed my driver's license to Arizona was because my driver's license was expiring and I knew I wasn't going to be able to go back to Iowa. And so it was just a mistake on my part in knowing that the driver's license changes your home state.
Thank you. Board members, do you have any questions for SW?
Yeah, so I guess when did you then start practicing in Arizona? I mean,
I've been a traveler since now. Like I was a traveler, so I started in May of 22.
Okay, and you were a traveler with your primary residence where? Like were you living here?
In Iowa. And no, we were renting furnished places.
Okay.
None of my stuff was here or anything.
How many days out of the year would you have been here in Arizona?
I was re-upping different, travel contracts in Arizona because there was more opportunity here than other places.
Okay. So,
but no, I never had a permanent address. We've lived like 5 different rentals that were furnished. None of them were our permanent address until we moved into a house on August 5th.
Okay, so you were living here, but just bouncing between from house to house on a travel kind of basis. Is that correct?
Correct. Yeah.
When was the last time you were living in Iowa?
Before I came here as a traveler. So May 22.
Okay.
I have a couple of quick questions, please. So you said that you got an Arizona driver's license because your Iowa driver's license was expiring. You needed to use your Iowa driver's license to put into the compact request for renewal. So was it already expired? Can you just help me understand why you used your Iowa license to renew your compact?
So my Iowa license was expiring on May 13th of 2023. I was trying to be proactive and renewed my license early so that I could be – you know, so that I could have a license and not forget about it when it came to May. And so I wasn't going to be able to go back to Iowa and I needed to be able to drive because I'm working between buildings. And so I renewed my driver's license here on and put in the place we were renting as an address.
And then when you renewed, you did not retake the jurisprudence. You were notified by the board that you had 30 days to do that, and that didn't happen. Can you talk me through that?
So I did not read the fine print of the compact when I renewed. I thought, oh, I've taken the jurisprudence. Then I just need to renew. And my Iowa license stuff repopulated in there. So I didn't actually, I just kind of clicked through it. But as soon as Judy, and I didn't, for some odd reason, did not receive Judy's email on whatever it was, May 10th. And when she called me, as soon as she called me, I did all the corrective actions. I was off work for 2 months because my compact privilege was terminated. So between June 9th and August 1st, I was unable to work. So I was taking the action there, not working in Arizona and waiting for my actual Arizona license. And then now we just moved into our house. So now I am a permanent resident.
Okay. So you're saying, just to clarify, you did not practice from June 9th to August 1st until you received your Arizona license.
No, because
universal
I didn't have a license. I didn't have a license from June 9th to August 1st. I actually didn't go back to work until August 4th. Because I had terminated my compact and I was waiting for my Arizona license to come through. So once I was made aware, I didn't purposely keep practicing on an expired compact. I've been a therapist for 8 years and this is just new to me because I only practiced in Iowa and started to become a traveler and I just didn't read any of the fine print. I know every single rule of Arizona and statute. If you tested me, I've passed the jurisprudence twice. And I've never had any issues as a physical therapist.
Thank you. Karen or Giovanni or Mr. Greer, any questions or for Ms. SW? Okay, I don't think we have any other questions for you, so we'll talk as a board and determine what the next steps are for us. Unless you have, anything last to say to us that we're...
No, I just think my closing statement is that I know the mistake I made. As soon as I realized the mistake I made, I took action to correct that mistake, and I was off work for 2 months because of my mistake, and I learned from that, and I know every single, law and statute that there is to know now because I learned my lesson.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Does anyone on the board have any thoughts on direction?
My initial thought is to go with an advisory letter, just outlining what the rules are in regards to the compact. Although I don't know how that's going to play into anything because she's in the compact anymore. That's where I get a little thrown off of what would be the correct thing to even put into an advisory letter.
And just a reminder, Dr. King, members of the board, this is just on the agenda for purposes of discussing whether or not to open up a complaint.
Yeah.
And so in order to issue an advisory letter, you would first need to take that initial step.
That's right.
With regard to that, I kind of disagree with SW on whether she knows what she did wrong. Because... Mm-hmm. I think she changed her residency. Whether she was trying to defraud the board or trying to defraud Arizona, the Department of Transportation, or trying to defraud Iowa, I don't know. But I think we need to open up a complaint here because I'm really troubled with the casual nature in which she seems to treat her residency. Because as I look at this, she became an Arizona resident on 3/17, and I don't care if she was doing it because she didn't want to have to go back to Iowa, but that's not a good reason to change residency. And if she wasn't an Arizona resident on 3/17, then she lied on her driver's license application saying she was. And so I have some real problems with this, and I would move to open a complaint Do you need me to list allegations, Judy?
Yes, please.
Mark, can I open a complaint for allegations as staff sees fit? Do I need to vote for statutory guidance?
Yeah, I think what we would want to give them a little bit more guidance. And let's take a look.
Let me pull up my statutes.
Yeah, so it's 2044.
May I ask which statute in Arizona that I have gone against? Because I believe that the mistake I made was against my compact license.
Ms. Esteve, we'll finish this part of the process, and then the board staff will help you understand.
Okay.
I would say, you know, for my motion, 2044-3.
And maybe 14?
Yes, 14. What would we do for practicing outside, unlicensed or without, or outside the...
We could maybe cite 2-1 as well, just, and then the statutes that talk about you need to be licensed in order to practice.
I'm sure, did you say 2044-1, and then we select the rules appropriate to practicing? You need to have a license to practice?
Correct. And keep in mind at this juncture, these are just allegations. Nothing's been founded. And that's what the investigation will determine. Mm-hmm.
With regard to 2044-1, could we reference 2053? That would be... I just had it, but the requirement to report, I thought that was in our statutes, the requirement to report a change in address.
I think it is.
Section 3, number 5, has comply with the rules of the commission.
Do we need that, Mr. Harris, or have we provided enough guidance?
I think we've provided enough guidance. If during the course of the investigation, additional allegations may be appropriate, they can be reflected in the administrative report, and the individual will be notified and be given an opportunity to respond.
Okay, that's my motion, Judy. Did you get all that?
I'll paraphrase.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I second Mr. Greer's motion.
I was leaning towards opening a complaint. I'm not sure. I can see the reasonable, I can see the lack of understanding that may result in this kind of action, but I do think it's worth investigating and looking at. So I would agree.
Yeah, that was my initial thought was I didn't know if we really even had any ability to do anything because of her not having the compact anymore. But listening to Mr. Greer on the allegations, I think that kind of clears it up for me.
Well, she's going to have an Arizona license, right? So that
she has an Arizona
license. She has an Arizona license. Yeah.
Yeah. So. And it'll be interesting to see the investigative report because I do have a lot of concerns about frivolity of and casualness of all of this. When the dates, I could see a day or two, but there are months between renewals and notifications. And so we'll see what Mindy comes up with. So we have a motion and a second. Any other discussion?
I agree with going forward on this. And I would hope that we end up, sending some of the investigation and the results of this back to the PT contact.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Motion and second. Judy, will you call the vote, please?
It's been moved and seconded to open a complaint and investigate the potential allegations of ARS 32-2044-1, which is violation of this chapter board rules and written board order, 32-2044-3, obtaining or attempting to obtain a license or certificate by fraud or misrepresentation, 32-2044-14, making misleading, deceptive, untrue, or fraudulent representations in violation of this chapter or in the practice of the profession, and 32-2044-23, failing to report to the board change in business of home address within 30 days after that change. Dr. King?
Yes.
Dr. Bastillo?
Yes.
Mr. Leone?
Yes.
Mr. Green?
Yes.
Mr. Barton?
Yes.
That motion passes.
All right. So SW, the board. Not at this time. I would say that the board will get with you. There's a little more to do, and then we will have a chance.
None of that happened when I had an Arizona license. So how do you guys have the jurisdiction to say I didn't report to you when you guys, I didn't even know you guys. I wasn't even associated with you guys yet.
Again,
so
we will have a chance.
How does that fall under those statutes?
You'll have an opportunity to speak to the board again when we see you. Again, after the investigation, you'll also be talking more with Mindy.
Okay. I look forward to that.
Okay. Yes. Esty, thank you. That takes us to then board business. I don't think I've missed anything, right? We've covered everything.
Correct.
Okay. So we are at board business, but we've done number one. So we'll move to number 10A2.
And this is an update regarding the board member vacancies. After Dr. Hike, was appointed in, August of 2022. The anniversary, the 1 year anniversary of that appointment was August 3rd, 2023, of which I was informed by the governor's office. During that time frame, Dr. Hike was appointed after the end of the legislative session in 2022 and prior to the 2023 legislative session. The typical process is that a board member can be appointed and then goes through an interview process and processing through the governor's office and in front of the appropriate committee and then through Senate confirmation. If a board member is not confirmed through Senate confirmation hearings, that board member is able to serve only for 1 year from their date of appointment. And that's what happened in Dr. Hike's Dr. Hike's situation is that the committee had one meeting. Dr. Hike was unable to attend that meeting, and then there was another offer for another meeting to be heard. So that has now left the board with two vacant seats for professional members. So in conversation with the governor's office, they do have applicants that they are going to be interviewing. They are talking with their legal department. Our board is not the only board that has encountered this issue. And with the change in administration, the office staff working through these steps is specific to this administration and Governor Hobbs. So they are going to be interviewing. They are going to be checking the parameters, legalities that resulted in this situation in the first place. Until the time that we are, that we receive new appointments, we are going to be operating with two vacant positions. Because our board is seven-member board, that means our quorum remains at four, regardless of how many positions are filled. So as you can see, with five remaining board members acting currently, it will be imperative that we know whether or not we'll have quorum at meetings with respect to certain cases, if we anticipate recusals or whatnot. It has a trickle down effect, of course. We'll be scheduling cases. Mindy will be completing her investigations. Everything will be moving forward, and it can definitely impact those cases that are heard at any given meeting. So, we ask with that you keep us, well informed of the meeting, whether you're able to make it or not. We do have our meetings already agendized for the, not agendized, but the meeting dates set for the remainder of the year. So, if anybody knows of any kind of conflict, please let us know. And of course, when you see agendas, when you see, files or cases that are being brought before you, let us know as soon as you're able, if there's any anticipated recusal, so we can act accordingly. Do you have any questions?
No, so we'll send any anticipated absences to you, and you can communicate with the rest of the team versus, okay.
Good. Correct. And if we get new appointments, of course, I will let you know. I don't know that will occur because of the 1 year time limit. I don't know that will occur far in advance of the opening of sessions, simply because that does eat away the clock that we're given. So, that could take us to January at least. So.
And just clarification on the remaining meetings. We have a meeting in September. We have a meeting in October. We do not have a meeting in November, and we have a meeting in December earlier than.
Correct. That was in January of this year. That was discussed when we were trying to set the calendar for the year, and based on the holidays, it was identified to kind of condense that time frame. There is, however, an exam in January, so I don't know yet if that will require a special session, if there are any kind of applicants that need to be granted approval, but that would then be a very, very limited agenda if that did materialize.
All right. Thanks for the update, Judy.
Mm-hmm. The next is business entity renewals. We are still in that time frame. Business entities have still another 9-ish days to renew. Currently, we had 209 active business entity registrations that we anticipated would renew. Thus far, 121 have successfully renewed. We currently have 88 that are anticipated as outstanding. 13 of those are already in submitted status, and 44 of the outstanding are from one company that has multiple locations. They're required to register each location separately, and I know that that entity is systematically working through their entries. So we're moving along, and hope that after those 44 outstanding from the one company and the 13 that are already in submitted status, that takes care of 57 of the 88. So we'll be consulting whether or not we need to reach out further. These companies have gotten a 90-day, a 60-day, and a 30-day reminder. And the recording has been restarted at 10:23. Mr. Greer, are you here? Mr. Greer, if you're here. And the recording has been restarted at 10:23. Mr. Greer, are you here? And the recording has been restarted at 10:23. Mr. Greer, are you here? Mr. Greer, if you're here, you're muted. I believe he's probably not. Mr. Harris, should we or do we need to take a roll call? And the recording has been restarted at 10:23. Mr. Greer, are you here? Mr. Greer, if you're here, you're muted. I believe he's probably not. Mr. Harris, should we or do we need to take a roll call at this time or wait for Mr. Greer to come back?
I think we can continue on.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jimmy.
Okay, we are at our last initial review, 9D, case 2347, Jane Bourne, PT. And Ms. Bourne, I see you on, so thanks for being here. Ms. Richardson, do you want to give us a summary of the case, please?
Yes, she is represented by Ms. Stark, and I believe that
I see her too.
Okay.
Hey, good morning. Hi, Ms. Stark. Sorry about that.
That's okay. No worries.
Good morning. Case 2347 is related to Ms. Bourne being arrested for DUI on or about November 5th, 2021 in Sequim, Washington. I'm not sure how you say that, actually. Is it Sequim or Sequim?
Sequim.
Sequim, Washington. At the time of her arrest, her breathalyzer results were .202. She was immediately arraigned and charged on 11-6-21 and issued court order requirements. She did not report her arrest or charges within the 10-day regulatory requirement, but she did report the charges at the time of her 2022-2024 renewal. She was contacted and subsequently provided a written statement and supporting documents, which you had attached for your review. She appears to have completed all court-ordered requirements, and her probation will end November 23rd of this year, and she states that she's committed to continue her self-improvement. She last practiced in Arizona in 2015, and does not plan to return to Arizona in the near future, and that both she and Ms. Stark have received a copy of the investigative report. This case is for your review.
Thanks, Mindy. Ms. Stark or Ms. Bourne, would you like to make an opening statement?
Yes, I'll make a brief statement, Dr. King, and then I'll turn it over to the board members for any questions they have for Ms. Bourne at that time. Good morning, Dr. King, members of the board. As an initial matter, Ms. Bourne acknowledges and accepts responsibility for the fact that she failed to report her DUI charge within 10 working days as required by our statute. As we indicated in our written response, she has no explanation except that she was unaware of Arizona's reporting requirements, which is not an excuse because she knows she should have known this rule, even if she hasn't practiced in Arizona since 2015. With regard to the incident itself, the DUI charge, which was ultimately pled down to reckless driving, Ms. Bourne knows that she used incredibly poor judgment that evening. In fact, this event served as a wake-up call for her, and she's recently celebrated 2 years of sobriety. As part of her court order probation, she was required to complete an outpatient counseling program, which included regular drug and alcohol testing, as well as attendance at 12